Speaking of John the Baptist, the Bible says,
"The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed him."
Jesus begins to call disciples.
"As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him."
Others follow, and Jesus reveals the cost.
"As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.' He said to another man, 'Follow me.' Jesus said to him, but he replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Still another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family.' Jesus replied, 'No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.'"
Even social outcasts were called.
"After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus said. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him."
Disciples loyally emulate the one whom they follow.
"The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it."
The disciple empties him or herself.
"Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'"
The sacrifice of oneself is rewarded.
"Peter answered him, 'We have left everything to follow you. What then will it be for us?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life."
The disciples' investment is in God.
"As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he said, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus answered. 'No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother.' 'Teacher,' he declared, 'all these I've kept since I was a boy.' Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me."
Discipleship will kill the old you, so consider carefully.
"If anyone comes to me and does not hate father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear."
The disciple of Christ seeks real life.
When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
A disciple is an apprentice who walks in the footsteps of the teacher.
"Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me."
Good morning. What a blessed time it has been in this church over the last several weeks. I feel so blessed this morning. Do you guys feel blessed? Do you guys feel blessed? I know you're more blessed than that. We've had VBS, we've had gatherings, we've had connection celebrations, we've been together. This morning already, we've studied the Bible together, we've sung together, I've heard the laughter and the conversations and the connectivity. This has been an awesome, awesome time in this body's life. We want to continue that blessing this morning by taking a look in the Word of God. We're going to do that in a little bit different way this morning. Over the last several months, since the beginning of the year, we've been focusing a lot on discipleship. Matter of fact, I've even heard some people say, "Discipleship, discipleship, enough with the discipleship." But we got to get this. Discipleship's the main thing. Disciples who make disciples. That's the core of our mission. Jesus said, "Hey, that's what I'm sending you out to do." It needs to be at the center of who we are. So we really can't talk enough about it. We had an extended series earlier in the year to kind of kick off and to begin to familiarize ourselves with our discipleship path as a congregation. Connect, grow, serve, share. We won't rehash that because we spent several weeks on it. We are going to come back to it throughout the years and throughout the months. But we thought it would be good for us to spend some time drilling down to find out, what does it mean for me? What does it mean for you in our own individual responsibility to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, sometimes it's very helpful when we're trying to understand a term is to look at synonyms. Do you ever do that whenever you're trying to figure out what something means? If you're on a computer, it's pretty easy. You just right-click and hit synonyms, and it gives you other words that mean that are similar or that main thing. Well, this morning we kind of want to look at a synonym in order to help us with our understanding of discipleship. Tonight we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We kick off our summer nights program tonight, where we kind of take our small group ministry, as it were, and we bring it back to the church house, and we center around tables down in the fellowship hall for some great conversation and then some great fellowship afterwards. Incidentally, if you want to sign up to help bring some stuff for that fellowship time, there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board right outside the church office. But I digress. This morning we want to look at the concept of apprenticeship. Apprenticeship. It might be a familiar concept to some of us, maybe for others of us, we've never heard that term before. And so what we want to do this morning is I want to talk to our resident expert. Well, we won't bill you up that much. But someone who knows a lot about apprenticeship from his own personal experience and also from his vocation. And so I'm going to spend a little time in interviewing and back and forth with a brother from the congregation here, Mike Brinkman. Let's welcome him up in front. Good morning, brother. So I know you're not at all nervous about this, Mike. So
I threw up in the bathroom.
Did you? You're amongst family. We all love you, so it's good. Many of us know Mike and his family, been with us for a long time. But for those of us who might not know you quite as well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm married to my beautiful wife, Beth, who's out here, and four children, all of who range from 22 years old to 29 years old. And we now have had our first grandbaby for 5 months.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You've been a long time part of this church family, been a blessing to us, and we're so thankful for you and Beth and the family being with us. Well, let's jump right into it. Let me ask you this question, Mike. And we're just going to, the way this is going to work, we're just going to have a little dialogue between the two of you, but we just happen to have, 400 people listening in on it. How about that? So, Mike, share with me a little bit about your life and your vocation as it relates to this idea of apprenticeship. Kind of start with where you're at right now and then take me back in time to tell me what your interaction with apprenticeship has been.
Well, building homes right now, and working backwards here, you got me a little confused, but I'll give it my best. building homes now since about the year 2000, and prior to that I was in the plumbing trade. So basically my father got me involved. My father was an apprentice and a journeyman and a master plumber, and I followed into his footsteps and worked from days off on the weekends and through school and whatnot, and I became a professional firefighter, and I did that career for 10 years. But during my time off, I worked for my father in the trade as an apprentice and working under his leadership.
Yeah. And this idea of apprenticeship is not uncommon. Well, maybe it's becoming more uncommon, but it's not uncommon in the trades. You think about plumbers and electricians and carpenters and whatnot. You think about this concept of, you mentioned a couple different terms there, apprenticeship, journeyman, and master, kind of a stage. With your experience with apprenticeship, what would your practical definition of an apprentice be, if you just kind of had to put that in your own words? What is an apprentice?
Well, that's a person that's getting a brand new start in a career. And like you said, it could be plumbing, could be electrical, any trade, fresh start, a newbie.
A newbie. And so what's the apprentice's ultimate goal then?
Well, hopefully it's become a master plumber. If he's a plumber, it's a master plumber.
Yeah.
Or an electrician, a licensed electrician.
Okay. So you're taking someone who's a newbie, and they're going to be going through a process, whatever length of time that is, and as they grow, they're going to eventually get to a place where then they give back and bring others' people up, right? So this is kind of the circular effect to it. From your experience, what are some of the important components of being a good apprentice? In other words, what practices, attitudes, and habits are important to successful apprenticeship?
Well, you have to definitely be eager, be proud, make a full-blown commitment to the trade, and do your best. Surround yourself with good teachers, and also invest in some quality tools.
Okay. So you mentioned several things there. You talk about the attitude of it all, that your heart really has to be in it. There has to be a zeal for it, a willingness to learn, a humility about that, and the investment in the tools. When we were talking, kind of preparing for this, you had shared a story about a time where you actually were working as a foreman of some sort with a plumbing business, maybe even your own plumbing business. You can refresh me on the details, and you were kind of addressing the plumbers on a regular basis, kind of giving them their pep talk, and I think some of these things kind of apply. You were kind of telling them, hey, listen, you need to be in this or out of this, right? Why don't you share that story?
Yeah, I mean, there was a point in time in my career where I had to manage about 25 different plumbers, and on Friday mornings we had to have a safety meeting and whatnot, and I remember at some point in time talking to the fellows about just being prideful in what they do, and if they weren't, I literally told them, I said, if you're not proud of the job you just did, when you pull away in your service van and almost look back and just feel good about what you do or what you did, then you probably need to find a new career.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of tough to say when there's a shortage of tradesmen and everything else, but, you know, you got to be straight up with people.
Yeah, in a sense, you kind of feel like, well, am I cutting my own throat when it comes to that?
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the scriptures that we were looking at this morning kind of reminds me of that. Remember, what we're doing here is we're making this parallel between maybe being an apprentice in a trade and being an apprentice of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus really says some pretty harsh things, some things that kind of thin the crowd, right? When he says, hey, listen, someone says, I want to follow you. I want to be an apprentice. I want to walk in your footsteps. But first, let me go bury my father. And he says, you know, encouraging things like, let the dead bury their own dead. Or, I want to follow you. And he said, hey, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but I don't have anywhere to stay. You know, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's almost like he's talking them out of it. It kind of reminds me of what you're saying to these guys. But I imagine that one of the reasons that you say things like that is apprenticeship isn't just kind of a show up and punch the time clock type of approach, right? I mean, you're trying to build somebody who is interested in a career of development. Is that right?
Yes.
Obviously, not every vocation requires kind of an apprenticeship per se. But in your opinion, why is it helpful, maybe even necessary, to be an apprentice? What advantages are there in being an apprentice?
Well, advantages are you get to start fresh. It's something new.
When we were talking about this before, another thing that I was thinking about that you brought up was this idea of you're not just thrown in over your head. You know, sometimes in vocations, you know, just because you've studied something, now you're going to get thrown in the job market. It's like, go do it. And we're almost setting people up for failure. Where with this apprenticeship approach, that everybody who is an apprentice knows they're a beginner. Everyone who surrounds them knows that they're a beginner. And that there's almost this, although this might not be the right word to use in the trades, but there's also almost this nurturing environment where I know you know next to nothing, but that's why I'm coming alongside of you to help you. I'm not going to give you something that you don't know already. So we kind of think about this partnership of kind of those who know and those who don't.
Yeah, you're working usually at least with a good journeyman or maybe under the master at all times. And you're learning from them, hands-on, not just from a book, although there is some book work involved, you know, becoming a journeyman and a master. But you also need hands-on experience, and you get that in the field under direct supervision. And hopefully you surround yourself with some of the best guys you can to teach you.
Right. Yeah, there's a real practical element to apprenticeship. Yeah, there's some book learning. For us, when we think about our apprenticeship with Jesus, you know, there's this concept, you know, you can't be a follower of Christ and not be in the Word of God. You have to be in the Word of God. But you also couple with that hands-on. You get the tools in your hands. You face a problem and you say, how do I apply this? Who am I going to be? And so there's a great parallel there, too. Let's spend the rest of our time together here talking about that parallel. Kind of get us started here, Mike. What parallels do you see? I mean, you're a follower of Christ and you're someone who's a tradesman, so you can kind of link these two things. What parallels do you see between being an apprentice in a trade and being an apprentice of Jesus Christ?
Well, you need to be all in, committed to being a Christian as you do in your trade, whether it be a plumber like we talked about or an electrician. You have to humble yourself, be a career learner. You have to understand you're a newbie. And I say by newbie, you have to understand that you're going to walk before you can run. It's just like in the Bible, we're talking about taking on, you know, a new Christian takes milk before it can take meat,
mm-hmm.
That concept. But you have to be constantly willing to learn just as a disciple in Christ so you can teach others.
Right. Yeah. There was a great story you shared with me about a guy who came to the plumbing trade a little bit later in his life that I think really kind of illustrates a lot of the things that you're talking about there. Why don't you share that story?
Yeah, I mean, we went through, you know, and I think a lot of guys know this in any business, you know, you could go through 10 hires and maybe find one good person. And Bruce, his name was Bruce, and he was a really, really nice guy that to this day, I still talk to him every now and then, came to us and applied. He actually was a trader on the floor at the New York Stock Exchange, and he was about 35 years old. And at the time, he was working at Home Depot, had two children, and he got through the hiring process, and I sat down with him, and I was a little bit worried and skeptical. But we put him to work, and I got to tell you, he was a guy that truly, truly, out of anybody I've ever hired, sticks in my mind to this day because he gave it everything he had every single day. He truly wanted to learn. He wanted to be put with the best journeymen or master plumbers, and he wanted to be on the most difficult tasks so he could learn quicker. But he also, every day I'd see him show up in his van with new tools. He wanted to take me out to his truck and show me what else he bought. So he was just really excited, and he truly invested and really wanted to be the best.
That's neat. You were even sharing a part of that story that he'd often kind of come to you and say, hey, listen, I don't want this job. I want a more difficult job. You know, I don't want to go unplug another toilet. You know, I don't want to go put another faucet in. Give me something that's going to challenge me.
Always wanted to be challenged.
So there's a lot of really important concepts that you're referring to, and we're just going to be able to touch on them this morning, and I want you to come back tonight for our Summer Nights program, and we're going to delve into this more deeply, and I want you to talk and think about these differences. At the conclusion of the assembly, I'm going to have the discussion questions that we're going to use tonight out in the foyer, so you can pick those up ahead of time and kind of think about them. But some of the things that you were talking about there, the commitment, the passion that we have for Christ, that we want, that our Christianity is just something we show up to on Sunday mornings. But it's a lifestyle. It's a vocation. I don't face challenges with regret, like, oh, I can't believe, is there really a God? Does God love me? There's another difficulty. Give me the challenges. Give me the challenges so I can become better at what I do. And what I do is follow in the footsteps of the master. Not the master plumber, but the master creator. And I'm going to invest in my tools. I'm going to commit myself to study of God's word, prayer, fellowship, encouragement of the saints, all the things that I see in Scripture, they're at the hallmark of the practices of an apprentice of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pack my tool chest full. And so I thank you so much for kind of bringing this insight into our awareness, Mike, because I think there's a lot of really key parallels here. So thanks so much, Mike, for your time. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you.
Let's thank Mike. So again, this morning we're scratching the surface. What I want to do this morning is not only set us up for a discussion tonight, but I want to set you up for a 7-part series. Jonathan's on vacation, enjoying some much needed and deserved time off and time with his family. He'll be back next week, and he's going to start to drill down specifically into this idea of discipleship, and we're going to be challenged. And my challenge to you today is to start to be open to this. Maybe this is fair, maybe this is not fair, but let me just diagnose for a little bit. And if nothing else, I'm diagnosing my own life. If you feel this applies to you, then so be it. If not, that's okay too. I'm concerned, especially for the American church, that we have embraced religiosity and not so much apprenticeship when it comes to fellowship of Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that I want to be affected by, and I hope you do too throughout this extended time in the Word over the next 7 weeks, is, am I a follower rather than just a fan of Jesus Christ? The name of this series is called Real Life Discipleship, and we'll explore some more about this next week as well as tonight. So be back at 6 o'clock tonight. Apprenticeship really begins with an initial commitment, right? Someone has to say, I want to be a plumber. I want to be a tradesman. I want to do this, and I'm going to commit myself to it. It's the same exact thing when it comes to being an apprentice of Jesus Christ. It begins with an awareness. It begins with a decision. And maybe this morning, through a kaleidoscope of events in your life, God's been working on you, working with you, showing you who He is, who He wants to make you to be through His power. And maybe it's culminated this morning into a time where you can make a decision to be an apprentice of Jesus Christ. We're ready to help you. We have water prepared to immerse you into Christ for forgiveness of your sins. We're ready to hear your confession. We're ready to help you repent of your sin, turn your back on your old life, and walk a new life. Both you with the Spirit, but also within this community. We're ready to help you initiate your apprenticeship this morning. So if that's your situation, we're going to ask you to come in just a moment as we stand and sing. If there's any other need that you have as an apprentice, maybe you need some support, maybe you need to confess something, maybe you need to get something off your chest, or you just need some encouragement, our shepherds are ready for that. You could come forward. They're in the library. Come up and talk to myself or anybody else. And we want to encourage you in your apprenticeship of Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing.